good to be back here. It's good to see our church open. We're just so pleased, Lord, at this beautiful morning and the ability to come and worship you. I'd like to welcome everyone to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. We do have attendance books. They can be found in the pews. Please remember to sign them. Nope. Oh, okay. They're in the back there. A little bit of a change. We do have several announcements this morning. First, to remember in your prayers, Donna Hessen. This is Wanda Cook's sister. She passed away this last Thursday. So please remember Donna Hessen, Wanda, and the rest of the family in your prayers as they mourn the loss of their loved one. Al Nickel, he's getting an injection in his back this week, so we need to remember and keep him in our prayers. Mary Nickel, Al's wife, she's having some testing, so we need to keep her thoughtfully in prayer that she receive good news. On a personal note, I would like to thank everyone for all the prayers and the phone calls and the good thoughts and just knowing that everyone here, my church family, supporting me as I worked through COVID this last spring. It was quite a journey, and anybody wants to talk about it, I am available. But thank you so much for being there for me. It meant the world. It really did, and it helped. I'd like to say we're so thankful to the Lord that Ivan came through his knee surgery in July with flying colors. He's doing well, and he asked me to say thank you so much for the calls and the beautiful cards and the words of encouragement. It really truly helped get him through the surgery and the post-op time, and he's just about ready to go out polka dancing, almost. Okay, we have some upcoming lay servant ministry classes. The bulletin says it's for basic and advanced, but I've got information here for the basic lay servant classes. They're right here for East Wind Basic Course, September 17th, 24th, October 1st, 8th, and 15th. This is online. It'll be a Zoom link. The person to contact is Kristen LaPalme. The cost is $25. And then we've got another one, Basic Course. This is Intro to Lay Servant Ministry. This one goes September 18th from 5 to 7, September 19th from 10 to noon and 1 to 3, September 25th from 5 to 7, and again on the 26th of September from 10 to noon. This is online. It's a Zoom link, and please don't be scared of that. We're using a lot of that through the hospital. I was through this COVID. I was a little worried, but Zoom works very well. And again, it's Kristen LaPalme. The cost is $25. You can contact the office. They'll know, too, information, or Jim knows about it. So anybody that's interested, and we strongly encourage that if you want to take a step up in faith here or step outside your comfortable box, please consider taking the basic course. Announcements, upcoming meetings this week. Trustees, well, not this week, but soon here. Trustees are meeting Tuesday, October 6th at 6:30 p.m. The lawn chair ladies, Wednesday on the 16th at 9 o'clock. Finance committee is September 22nd at 5:30. The church council is Tuesday, 9:22 at 6:30. Charge conference will be held on Monday, September 21st at 6:30 p.m. via Zoom, and this is for church leaders only due to the COVID-19 precautions. Charge conference booklets will be available in the church office following the meeting. There's a pig roast at Harriton United Methodist Church in Snover next Saturday, the 19th of September, from 4 to 6:30, and that is a cost of $10. Curbside service only. The next blood drive will be held on October 15th at Countryside. We are in charge this month, and we need someone to coordinate the event as Carrie Gentry is not available. Contact Pastor Sue if you are willing to take charge of this life-saving ministry. She has all the details. And blood drive, right now we're really, really short on blood nationwide. I know the hospitals are holding blood drives as well, at my hospital anyways, and they're begging people to donate. So please, if you can help out with that, consider doing it. It's a very worthwhile cause. I think, I have one more. Our Thursday morning, Thursdays at 10, we can get together. We can start with that. We will have social distancing. Bring your mask and just three ladies to a table. We have to observe our social distancing, but I'd like to get that ministry up and going. I've missed it, and we welcome anyone, man or woman, who would like to come. And you do not necessarily have to be able to knit or crochet. If you want to come for just fellowship, please do so. We would be glad to see you. And I don't know. I don't know how much everybody's been digging in their stash of yarn and whatever else, but I managed to clean up some at home, so I've got a few shawls I've made during lockdown. So, again, anybody who would like to come this coming Thursday morning, we meet at 10 o'clock in Wesley Hall. We'd like to see you. Okay. All righty. I think that takes care of the announcements. So I guess we will move on to birthdays. Anybody celebrating a birthday this coming week? Nobody, huh? Oh, wait a minute. There's fingers being pointed. Last Friday. Okay, and you're celebrating 21 years, right? Okay, all right. Gonna hold it, okay. All right, well, let's sing Happy Birthday to Bert. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to and many more, Bert. Okay. And next on the list would be our anniversaries. Is anybody celebrating? Oh, Beth and Jeff, how many years? 32. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay. So very nice. Okay, please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship as we have our candles lit. Oh, go ahead.
It has come to my attention from someone in the church that is having a problem with COVID and Pastor
Thank you. Okay. Our first praise song this morning is Oh, How I Love Jesus. And please remember that we are humming to the hymns this morning, please. Okay, Tina?
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in its sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Our call to worship this morning is found in our bulletins. Congregation, please respond in the bold-faced type. The Lord has called us, his church, to be the salt of the earth. He has called us to be lights in this world. Let us neither be ashamed of our discipleship nor hide our lights. Indeed, let us come and praise the Lord. We are so thankful, Lord, that we're able to come here to this beautiful house of worship, join together, and sing the praises of your name and your glory. Lord, strengthen us and keep us strong, that we do indeed take our light into the world and show that we are your children, and it is through you, Lord, that your peace, it is through us, Lord, that your peace will come through us and help to restore some calm to this troubled nation and this troubled world. Let us all be mindful that we are all your children, Lord, brothers bound together in your love. Our next hymn is Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion. Love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Yeah. Everyone, Savior.
My God is mine. The children's moment time. I see no children in the building. They're welcome to come in if they're out in the parking lot, but it's not necessary. I don't have anything to give them, but I will tell the children's moment so that it can be heard both on the radio and in the parking lot. Today I wanted to talk about sports. When I was a young boy, I loved to play tennis. And in tennis, you get two chances to serve the ball in your opponent's court. Now, if the ball doesn't go in the court, outside the court, it's called a fault. You get two chances. And if you're on the receiving end, it's great fun to say, "Fault," meaning that they didn't get it in the court. And if they missed it twice, you get to say, "Double fault, my point," and you don't even have to hit the ball. Now, in baseball, there's a strike zone, and you get three pitches. And if you swing and miss the ball, they yell out, strike. And the second time, strike two. And then they say, strike three, you're out. Those are the rules of those games. Now, in basketball, they have fouls. Now, all of these sound bad to me, like faults, strikes, and fouls. In basketball, you cannot touch the other player. And if you do, it's called a foul. And you get, I did play basketball in sixth grade, but I sat mostly on the bench. But I think that you get 5 to 6 fouls, depending upon the rules and what's going, what league you're playing in. But after those 5 fouls, you can no longer play the game. You're out. Now, in today's scripture lesson and the story that we're going to tell, it's Peter coming to Jesus, and he's asking for a rule. He says, Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brothers and sisters? And then Peter says, 7? It's kind of a question. Like, that seems like a lot. It's a lot more than the 2 fouls you get for tennis, or the 3 strikes that you get for baseball, or the 5 fouls that you get in basketball. It's 7. If you're out there, hold up 5 fingers and 2 fingers, and that makes 7. But Jesus said, not 7, but 77. Now, 77, I would have to have 11 people up here holding up their 5 fingers and 2 fingers. Oh my goodness, that's a lot of forgiveness. That's how many times we're supposed to ask for forgiveness, or to give forgiveness. In some Bibles, it says not 77 times, but 7 times 70. That would be 490 times. What Jesus was really saying was, it's an uncountable number. We are to forgive over and over again. And that's our children's message for today. Always forgive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ coming to earth, so that we might learn better how to live for you, how to live and love you and love each other, how to forgive. We thank you for the children in our congregation, but we thank you for the children that are listening to this message, and we hope that you move within them. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 15, verses 1b through 11 and 20 through 21. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, "I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them." But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? Then Miriam, the prophet Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
In Jesus' name, I'm in Jesus' name.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning, for this past week. We thank you for the opportunity to come into this building, the opportunity to worship you freely. We raise up our concerns, those that are within our church family that are listed in the bulletin and have been mentioned earlier, as well as those in our community, those that are fighting COVID, that are fighting illnesses, those that have loved ones that have passed away. We also lift up our country and the civil unrest. We ask that your peace be spread throughout this land. We lift up those that are battling fires. We lift up those with financial needs. And we lift up our leaders. And we thank you for the leadership of your Son and the Holy Word and the salvation we receive through him, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. The gospel reading today comes out of the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and it's chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. It is the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to the knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me. I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my salvation. Amen. I didn't know what people were looking at, so I have to look myself. This last Friday was the 19th anniversary date of the attack on American soil. It was September the 11th, 2001. I recall the shock of that morning 19 years ago. The tears, the many prayers, the deep anger, the fear, the great uncertainty. I now feel a little guilty because those feelings were so intense and are now mostly just a memory of a horrible time. I now thank God for His mercy, for His ever presence, for His healing in our lives. This last year, the world has had a new enemy, COVID-19. It has changed our society and brought many tears, many prayers, deep anger, deep fear, and great uncertainty. More recently, we have had riots in our cities, hurricanes, and wildfires. Lives and livelihoods have been destroyed. It is a time of tears, many prayers, deep anger, deep fear, and great uncertainty. On Saturday, yesterday, people gathered in the parking lot of the United Methodist Church to walk for suicide prevention and awareness. Many have lost loved ones to suicide and feel the guilt and the isolation, the tears, the anger, the fear, and the uncertainty. God calls us to love and forgive our brothers and sisters. In light of all that has happened in the past, in light of a world in crisis, you would think that forgiving your brother and sister would not be that difficult. Yet we allow our opinions to become irreparable differences. We harbor anger and hate. We long for retribution. We find pleasure in phrases like, "I will forgive, but I will not forget." I don't get mad, I get even. What goes around comes around. I am reminded of an old saying about anger and hatred. To nurture our anger and hatred is like drinking poison, hoping that it is going to kill the other person. And yet all it does is kill us and separate us from God's love. We must let go of our anger and hatred 77 times. We forgive and we forgive. To forgive does not mean that we condone what was done to us. To forgive means we refuse to let what happened destroy us and alienate us from God and from one another. It demands hard work and vigilance. Jesus teaches us to forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 7, or 77 times, as written in the NIV version. In any case, it is to forgive an uncountable number of times. Likewise, in Matthew 5:43-48, Jesus tells us to love our enemies. You have heard that it was said, "Love your neighbors and hate your enemy." But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We are to love our enemies. We are to pray for them and wish them blessings. I've heard that after the Civil War between the states, a woman was criticizing the president because of the relief efforts to rebuild the southern cities. She said, "Why would you be helping the enemy?" And Abraham Lincoln replied, "Have I not destroyed my enemies when I have made them my friend?" Our enemies are not just reflecting back to 9/11. It is more often much closer to home. Both those we know and have strong relationships with, and those strangers within our community. The offenses may not be as horrific, but are we praying for our enemies and wishing them blessings? A couple of summers ago, I visited my wife's family reunion in Georgia, and one of the cousins, who was an authentic Georgia peach, wore a t-shirt that said, "If you're not from Georgia, dot, dot, dot," and then it said, "Well, bless your heart." Now, during the course of the reunion, I was quick to learn that the phrase, "bless your heart," had a Georgia meaning which is similar to saying, "Here's your sign," or "You're an idiot." Likewise, on a few occasions, I have had an argumentative or a differing of opinion with conversations with my brothers and sisters in Christ that have ended with a nose kind of up in the air and the phrase, "I'll be praying for you." I can reflect on past battles I've had with those that I love, and for the most part, it is water under the bridge, long forgotten. I was divorced by my first wife after 21 years because I always had to be right. My thought at the time was, why in the world would she want me to be wrong? I was single for 10 years before meeting and marrying my second wife. I am now sometimes wrong just to make my wife happy. I have found it to be okay to be wrong. Being wrong is not a sin. It is okay to just be yourself and to acknowledge your faults and your failures. A few years ago, I was at a church event that began with a soup meal together. I was sitting at a round table with people I hadn't met, and I was engaged in conversation with the person next to me. Oyster crackers had been passed around the table, and I took a package, opened it, and poured it into my coffee. In Georgia, that calls for a, "Well, bless your soul." Oh, it's my heart. Bless your heart. It's okay to not always be right. As I reflected on today's scripture, I could not help but reflect on the Lord's Prayer, which we say together each Sunday. Having gone to many different churches during my life, it is the third sentence that I always have to pause to listen. What word will be used? For that sentence reads, "And forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Or it reads, "Forgive us of our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." Or it reads, "Forgive us of our trespasses as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us." All three phrases are correct to use. When I think of debts, I think of obligations that I owe. I think of all the blessings God has given me, more than I can ever repay. The greatest of these blessings is the sacrifice of his son, that my sins are washed away. Forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. When I hear the word sin, I think of my disobedience to God, the breaking of his commandments. Forgive us of our sins, just as we have forgotten or forgiven those who have sinned against us. When I hear the word trespasses, I think of boundaries. Boundaries that I should not cross. Moving away from God, out of the light and toward the darkness. Forgive us of our trespasses, as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. Many years ago, before my second marriage, but after my first marriage, my oldest daughter and her husband were in college and asked me to keep their puppy while they were in school. I lived in the country and agreed to help raise their pup. One day, the neighbor, who lives across the street, pulled into their driveway, and unknown to me, our dog took off to their property to greet them. Later that night, around dinner time, I was visited by the county animal control. The officer came into my house and was eagerly greeted by my grown children's puppy. The dog was properly licensed, and the officer was won over by the unconditional love of the puppy. He did inform me that he needed to write me a ticket because the neighbor insisted, but he said he might be able to write a warning. He then went across the street to talk to my neighbor. When he came back, he simply said, "I had admitted the dog had been loose and trespassed onto the neighbor's property, and he needed to write a fine rather than a warning." Know that to you, this may sound like a neighbor you wouldn't want. But know also, it was not the neighbor that did the trespassing. I paid the fine, and I desired to get revenge. It's not okay to be wrong. It's not okay to harbor anger and hate. I chose to construct a dog lead that tied to a tree way up in the orchard and ran hundreds of feet down in front of my yard. And I put a post directly across the street from my neighbor's driveway. Close to the post, I planted some metal decorative yard flowers. And then I constructed a garden lady. And the garden lady is somebody that's bending over, and you only see their back end. You might have seen some in people's yards, but mine was a pretty good size. And then I made a sign that said, "Beware of dog." It was quite the eye catcher, and I had achieved my goal. When family and friends asked me about the beware of dog sign, I was quick to say, I wasn't talking about our puppy. A few days later, my anger had subsided, and I was embarrassed that I had been so petty and mean-spirited. I took down the dog run and the sign and the garden lady. Know that the second incident was not the dog trespassing. It was I trespassing on my neighbor and my God. I ask forgiveness for my trespasses. A few years later, the same neighbor had a new dog that crossed the road and came into my yard. It was a very small dog, and I picked it up and I carried it back to its owner's house. As I was carrying the dog, I reflected on the past incident and thought to myself, like heaping coals on their head. But instead, it was my head. I was the trespasser, bringing back a puppy. Did not even the score. Only Christ can wash away our sins. Matthew 5:23-24. While Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount, he says, "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Then just a few verses after Jesus' prayer in Matthew 6:14-15, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And finally, in Mark 11:25, Jesus says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you for your trespasses." The implication of this prayer and the related verses are clear. We must be willing to forgive others, or we condemn ourselves. Amen. It is now time for our offering. Gracious Father, we thank you for the many gifts that you have bestowed upon us. So many that we cannot count. We give back to you at this time in hopes that others might know your love, that this church might be able to reach out and serve. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The closing hymn is Help Us Accept Each Other.
Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us a sister, brother, each person to
Go in peace, forgive one another, and serve the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.